I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The podcast Pop This is one of my favorite shows. The weekly conversation with Lisa Christensen and Andrea Warner on popular culture is such a thoughtful, funny, engaging, and edifying program that I can't get enough of it, to the point where I've invited both to this show now. We met Ms. Warner this past fall when she came on to discuss her book, We Ought to Know, How Four Women Ruled the 90s and Changed Canadian Music, and we know of her writing, which appears at CBC Music and various publications like the Georgia Strait. She's a weekly columnist on the CBC Afternoon broadcast on the coast, where we all know Ms. Christensen from. Her reports on the traffic desk and various music segments, their wit and intellect, and very often silliness, are such delights to listen to that you really ought to go to the iTunes or Stitcher to listen to them. Their website is at popthiscollective.tumblr.com, and they're both on Twitter. Andrea's is at underscore Andrea Warner, and Lisa's is at Lisa Christ CBC. Andrea's own website is at theandreawarner.com. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program in person today, Lisa Christensen. Good morning, Ms. Christensen.
Well, good morning, and wow, thank you for that introduction.
You're very welcome, and welcome back, Andrea Warner. Ms. Warner, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Sorry, I started laughing so hard, I don't know why, but just hearing myself introduced and us introduced makes me happy.
It does. It does. If you think all those things, that's... Well, we've done something, right?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, I will mansplain for a moment here.
Good.
As to why I like your show. And it has to do with the fact that it's changed how I've approached certain conversations I have with not just women, but people in general.
Cool.
You talked about this one time on your show. Lisa, you were reading the book by the woman from The New Yorker who wrote the book about Middlemarch.
Oh, yes,
yes. I'm trying to remember her name now.
Yes.
Anyway, I had her on when that book came out. And one of the questions I asked her right off the top was, I've never read Middlemarch because I thought it was a woman's book. Mm. And so after listening to your show now, I know that's not a question that I should pose to anybody, really. Right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, to be selfish for just a sec, I mean, you've given me, say, a new vernacular, a new vocabulary in how to approach talking to people in general.
That's good.
Wow,
it's what something we'd love to hear from people. I mean, and I mean, really, like, we're always trying to sort of just broaden our own horizons as well. It's nice to hear that we might have influenced somebody else.
I was quite it was actually quite sad when we had quite a lovely review in Bust magazine. Someone tweeted to say that apparently on your podcast you talk about all things women, but hopefully men are allowed as well. And I was really disturbed that someone...
They probably haven't listened to the podcast.
Well, yes, I would assume that because we discuss books and movies and songs written by women, that somehow means men can't, A, listen, read, or enjoy, or
understand.
Well, just like the... there's so much all the time, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before, of just like the idea that something is made by a woman somehow precludes men, but that does obviously never goes the same way. Like,
never.
I mean, women consume male-made pop culture, art, products all the time, and non-binary, like getting away from like male or woman, or man or woman. Like, I mean, we just have to be open to experiencing other people's perspectives.
Yeah.
And that's...
It would never occur to me to say to someone that I've been really enjoying this show on Show Me by a male comedian named Louis C.K.
Yeah, he's just... Yeah,
he's
just know
a comedian.
And
Louis, I hope you'll figure out, maybe...
A male.
His gender or something, but, you know, it wouldn't occur to me to have to say that.
Yeah. Well, the... obvious assumption all the time is that when men make something, it's for everybody. When a woman makes something, it's for women. And that is the most ridiculous, terrible thing in the whole world. And if we can move anybody away from that, that would be great.
And we're starting to, I think, because, I mean, we realize that in small baby steps. I mean, sports, for example. I mean, the audience for the Super Bowl, as large an audience that is. I mean, it's half women, isn't it, or more?
Yeah. I think it's...
Still, the often the story that comes out, which is quite... upsetting is, we had to pick Beyonce because the ladies like the halftime show.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I think everyone enjoys the halftime show.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy football, too. Yeah. So
did you start the show, Pop This, because you wanted to talk about talk about the frustrations you have with popular culture today and sort of the business of Hollywood, as well as, say, affect the audience that's listening and try to, as it has with me, change. Isn't that typically male, though, to say how it's affected me personally? See, now I'm conscious of this when I say things like this. To change the conversation, just the way that we all communicate, say?
I would like to think that if there's any changing going on, it's subversive and we're just doing it because you're having a good time. Not once did we ever discuss, and never once at the beginning of doing this podcast was it, what do you think we could do about male attitudes toward popular culture by women? We have things we like to talk about.
Yeah, and I think, like, largely, I mean, definitely, like, from the outset, the tagline that we sort of settled on was two women talking about pop culture. Because so often, especially in podcasting, it's gotten so much better, especially in the last couple of years. But early on, it was really dominated by men. And so we did want to add, like, another set of voices to that conversation, but never with the end goal of being like, we're going to change stuff. I don't know, it's too lame to say be the change.
Well, if you're having a really good time, I mean, it's not that I don't want you to think we're women, because obviously that's great, but I don't want you to, you know, I would hate for that. I mean, I would just like to think you're having a really good time. And then maybe later on you'd go, wow, that was an interesting conversation with those two women.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's not to the exclusion of men.
No,
or the male perspective, say. Because
no.
I think the one thing that you both talk about throughout these episodes, all of the episodes that I've heard, I've listened to everyone, I think, is understanding, not just men as well, but how society works.
I think if we have one common denominator, we just really hate awful, boring, lazy thinking.
Yes.
Whoever's doing it.
Yes.
Whatever gender, whatever mid-gen, whatever, yeah. Whoever yeah. you are,
yeah.
It's awful. Like, if we sort of take someone to task, it's because of a lazy way of thinking. It's about an old-fashioned way of thinking or not a progressive way of thinking. And if that happens to me, you're male, well, that's what happened there.
Yeah, and I think, like, even, like, still, like, sometimes I have, like, weird regressive thoughts sometimes, and I'll catch myself saying something weird in the middle of conversation and realize, oh, I need to work on myself, too. Like, I think we're always unlearning sort of inherited ways of thought that are sort of, like, I don't know, a little bit weird, a little bit gross, a little bit strange, because that's just the culture we've grown up in. Like, I mean, if you think about who has made so many of our resources, it has been a very skewed white male perspective. And I'm constantly having to unlearn sort of strange, inherent sexisms and misogynies and things like that all the time. I'm 37. Like, there's just constant work to be done, but it can be fun, and we can do it through the lens of pop culture.
We're always hoping for at least one Oprah aha moment per episode. If you get two,
oh, amazing.
That's a bonus, yeah. And that's free, my friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would it be too precious or introspective to ask if, having done this now, how many episodes has it been?
33.
Yeah.
33.
That it's changed any thoughts that you might have had beforehand?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm just getting more and more aware all the time.
Yeah, I feel like almost it's, if anything, I think sometimes, I've never had this discussion with you, Andrea,
yeah.
But sometimes I feel sadder.
Because of the way culture has
yes,
evolved and,
yes.
and how the business of that.
Yeah, I feel like once you've, you know, you start noticing it, not to a point where people feel like you're the killjoy of the party, although that I'm sure I am sometimes.
Yeah, but like revisiting like 9 to 5.
Yeah, we did, I mean, you remember that. We were, it was actually very, it was truly, we might have made jokes about it, but we were both quite heartbroken to see how little had changed for women, that you could just update the wardrobes and maybe not even
not
the
even
stars
have
necessarily.
To, really.
Not really, not even have to, because we've cycled through.
Yeah.
Add some cell phones.
Take away the cigarettes.
The computers were a bit weird.
Yeah.
But other than that...
other than that, it's still a movie that completely could exist today and does for so many women.
It does, and it is not... It was not... there was nothing. And the end of the film, there was so much more of a, go women! You know, or And you know, at the end of the day, we're still discussing things like healthcare and childcare as if they're women's issues. How did that happen?
Yeah.
As far as I know, there's been two genders participating in the creation of a child. So how did, anyway?
Yeah.
Like, how did that become that is the female issue?
It is depressing. I mean, I maybe don't, I don't know. I don't know if I just am unfailingly, so as much as like I am a pessimist, I'm also unfailingly optimistic.
Yeah.
It's a very strange duality.
We both share that.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes us able to do this.
Yeah, because I'm not listening to this show every week wanting to just
feel
cry.
Sad.
Yeah, or
no.
Slit my wrist because I'm in despair or something.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and I think like there are small amounts of progress that we can see that like we, you know, the culture is changing all the time. And even if we go back 30 years and it hasn't changed that much, well, there's a tiny bit of difference. Like the outright grossness of like, say in 9 to 5, the boss character, hopefully not for all workplaces.
Yeah.
And I apologize to any of you listening who have this at home, and I'm sorry, that's terrible. But like, hopefully that kind of like overt terribleness has scaled down at least 10%.
Yeah.
Like, minuscule shifts. I'm hoping for a much larger shift going forward, and maybe that will happen with sort of, like, people being galvanized by the internet and stuff. I don't know.
But, you know, you'd like to feel that it's not such a big deal that Beyoncé puts feminism up on the stage and then is, you know, equally cheered, and then people, oh, that was a cheap shot, or what does she know about feminism, or it was just, you know, would like to think one day that she could just do that and I'd be like, yay, and we would just move along and not have to write 4 dozen think pieces on how Beyonce might not really get it, or does she get it.
It is still that sort of clickbaity thing of where, like, and I find it so often typically, like, in reading media, like, men interviewing women oftentimes is like, oh, well, do you identify as a feminist? Why or why not? And then, like, they turn it into this, like, scandal or not scandal. And, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully we're moving to a better place than that. I don't know. That Sky Ferreira, like, there was a piece written a few weeks ago in the LA Weekly, a profile of, or like, a review of a show.
I don't know what you'd call that.
It was, anyway, basically, it's just like a writer basically jerking off onto the page, if I can say that.
Yeah.
And he just grossly describes, like, her in, basically, whether he wants to have sex with her terms. And this is a male writer writing about a young woman musician. This is 2016, and still happening.
My favorite part of the article was comparing her breasts to Madonna's, because, you know, we don't want to discuss the music or the art.
No,
just the breasts. I mean, that's an important... Anyway, it was so bad that the LA Weekly apologized.
The guy got fired, though.
No. And it was, and then they, what was really funny is, again, how nothing changes. I don't know if you're a fan of Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
And there's a fantastic line in Spinal Tap where it was, there's such a fine line between clever and stupid. And the writer, the editor of the LA Weekly in apologizing was, there's a fine line, what was it, between provocative and... I don't know, downright just
whatever.
Make you squirm and feel like you're going to vomit.
It was so gross. Like, I mean, if your idea of provocative is to demean a woman and reduce her to her
that's
body
success.
Parts.
He did a good job of that.
Well, sure, but like that's not provocative. Like that's
no.
literally most people's sort of everyday existence in some capacity.
Yeah.
And that's not provocative, it's just gross, you know? So, anyway.
But it's interesting, though, that the fallout... I mean, as terrible as the piece was, and I haven't read it, but from what you've described, the fallout revealed just how the system works.
Well, to a certain extent, because what's hidden in the fallout is that LA Weekly got a crap ton of attention. The whole, you know, all attention is good attention, even if it's bad kind of thing. They got a ton of, you know, clicks, a ton of discussion. Now they can sort of claim that in their apology, like, well, this has been such a really great discussion. I'm glad we've been a part of it kind of thing.
Most importantly was, I think, the tweet that highlighted or sort of brought attention to the article, which was, Sky Fury is to sex what Slash is to guitar. So the important part of Sky is that we can compare it to a man's achievement, too.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So thank God.
Thank God there's a way that I can let you know that this woman is good at what she does.
Also, like, whatever, slash, fine, but come on. Is that, that description is as 30 years old as this review. Like,
yeah,
that's insane.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Were you guys friends before you started this?
Well, yeah, like, we knew each other.
Casually.
Acquaintances. Yeah.
We spent a lot more time. Now I feel...
I love her.
Yes, yeah. Now we're, if there, like, I will, if I see something, we will spend, like, an hour texting.
Yeah.
In a Sunday morning now, yeah. And it's not weird.
Yeah, no, now it's, yeah, it's not weird at all. Well, and, like, we knew each other for, like, I don't know, we've known each other about 5 years.
Yeah.
And we have mutual friends in common, and then we ended up working in the same place, and I'd interviewed Lisa once before, and then she hosted my book launch, and that was really how it all started.
And it really is that thing that people talk about, that you, every once in a while, meet someone you feel like you've known all along, and you have a shorthand, and you know what they know, and they know, and it's easy, and you think, maybe we were friends back when the pyramids were being built or something. And
like in a Shirley MacLaine deal?
Yeah, maybe, right?
We have enough common reference points that, like, our occasional non-common reference points just prove that we're, like, well-rounded individuals who have not just found our Siamese twin.
No,
we, like,
we
have enough of our stuff.
There's a lot of stuff that I'm sure we both are like, I can't believe you like
but it's so much fun to play with. And that's the thing, like, I mean...
Yeah, it would be really boring if we got on everything.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, yeah, it's like good to have, like, all the discussions.
It's very much, I mean, it's like friend in that, I think, but the thing that happens is, if you're really lucky, is it gets into that sort of sisterly territory where you can... What the hell's wrong with you?
Yes,
and not feel like you'll never be able to talk to that person again because they challenged you.
Totally. No, it's like, it's so nice to get to that place in friendship. Oh my God.
Yeah.
To like feel free to be able to really just work something and hash something out and like, and be respectful about it and like have these conversations that, you know, you might shy away from otherwise because other people just aren't arguing on the same level or occupying the same space.
Yeah, like if I, like you guys discussed The Holiday and Love Actually.
Sure did.
And I'm a big fan of Love Actually. And if I had the same discussion with someone else, I would probably not be as civilized as you guys
were. There was a lot of editing.
Oh, okay. There you
and go. there was some wrestling.
Yeah, we don't do a video component.
Almost got banned from the library. What did we get? Two chances? Three chances?
Two or three chances.
Two or three chances.
Yeah, if we do some small civic labor for them, they'll be fine.
And that's another reason why we want to do the podcast. Who would fight over two movies that really are inconsequential to
completely
everything.
Inconsequential. Completely inconsequential.
But Love Actually represents Christmas, Lisa.
Are we doing this again? Are we?
We should just revisit this annually.
Yeah, every year.
The same fight every year, but different.
That's right.
And like work towards it.
Really? Does Keira Knightley's husband's best friend trying to break up her marriage, does that represent Christmas to you,
Joe?
That's
charming.
That's charming, is it? I call that deceit. I call that sadness.
A little bit of stalker.
So I watched it after.
And a little bit of stalker.
Yeah, no, it really is.
A
just,
lot of stalker.
It is disturbing when
it is,
you think
right?
about it nowadays, yeah. But I mean, you watch it when you're, I guess, in the throes of Christmas, whatever, 12 years ago or so, whenever that movie came out.
It was a while back,
you think it's kind of cute, right? But then now you really think, Jesus, that's just...
I think it's nice when the Prime Minister fires his secretary because he's attracted to her.
Right,
I think
you
people are right on the money here.
He just moved her to a different
department.
He
just moved her to a different
department. He did not fire her.
Because he couldn't stand how seductive she was. And he's the Prime Minister. Sorry.
No.
Right. I know, it doesn't have the elegance of a beautiful blonde woman unable to cry. Oh break my heart.
Diaz,
oh,
yeah.
My
did
God.
Did you not love the voiceover?
Candy can't cry.
Plus, I loved Jack Black. Come on.
Yeah.
You said that you don't, and I do.
It's not a
Jack
thing for
Black
me.
And I. Who need the two of us could be Tenacious D. You know what I'm saying?
I'd pay money to see that.
Yeah. I would too.
Yeah. I would see that.
I would do that for free, actually. Jack.
But I have to say though, I did watch The Holiday after, and I think it's a good movie.
I think we were both operating on knowing that neither one of them are in Citizen Kane, Godfather territory, so we're okay to say that at Christmas our standards for, well, we drink a lot of eggnog, which we would not ordinarily do.
It's all wine for me. All
it's
wine.
All the movies represent all of the standards we lose at Christmas.
What, when you, respect a friendship for just a second, and the friendship that's been born out of this podcast for the two of you. We've talked about this on Twitter after you talked about frenemies on
yeah,
your
yeah.
program. And that is it easier for two females to find friendship after a certain age, say, than, say, two men? And I said that it's really difficult for me to sort of cultivate the relationship that the two of you have with another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I don't know if it's because it's a male-female thing or if it's just me, but I probably think it's a male thing.
I have to say that we've had this discussion before. It seems to me men make these friendships in kindergarten
yeah.
and then hold on to them so they don't need
life.
To
yeah.
so then it gets awkward to try and meet a
yeah.
friend where it's not for women. And actually I feel like one of the comedies I've learned a lot about men from is Louis.
Mm.
I don't know if you've watched a lot of Louis.
Louis
C.K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was an episode he did where he met a guy wanted
this
to be
is
his
the
friend.
Guy on the beach, right?
The guy on the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And how and he even mentions it. You know, he doesn't do that as much anymore, that kind of Seinfeld, you know, like
yeah.
step back the part in his life and his
yeah.
but when he's talking about how hard it is just to meet a guy and say, hey, I'd like to grab a bite with you, where it's so not for women.
Well, I think a lot of that ties into sort of like, you know, the fear of homosexuality
yes.
and like all the, like
yeah.
being like
that was the
Louis vulnerability.
Yes,
and,
sure was.
Yeah.
yeah,
and like the vulnerability of it. I actually know a lot of people of who identify as many different things, men, women, in between, every other, et cetera, and who've often said that they can't make friends after 30.
Huh.
Like, I've heard that this is just 30 seems to be some sort of ceiling to making friends. And I've thought about that a little bit myself, but I will specifically say that in the last 6 or 8 months, and I mean, I'm a pretty friendly person, so I don't find it hugely challenging
yeah.
to meet new people and make friends. But in the last 6 or 8 months, like, I've had 4 different random people contact me through Facebook and be like, hey, can we have coffee or can we have a drink together?
Yeah.
And just, like, sort of take off the, I don't know, the walls are starting to come down where people are just sort of, like, doing more outreach. And for myself at work, I made a friend at work. Oh my god!
So nice.
But she just seemed really nice. We always talked and stuff.
Do I know her
and,
too?
Yeah, my friend Ev.
Yes.
So, and I didn't even know her last name at the time, but I was just like, she seems really nice. Why don't I just ask her if she wants to go to a show? And so I just did. I just like, and I was like, why am I even like, why is this not before? Like 10 years ago, this would have been just like, yeah, of course, like just come to a show.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like at 37, I had to really like force myself to go to her office and be like, hey, you want to come to a show? And she was so excited and she did. And we had a great time and we've just been friends ever since. And I think it's just taking that tiny risk, you
yeah.
know? People don't want to... People fear rejection all the time, whether it's romantic or a friend, and it's a little bit scarier, I think, but I don't know. It's been really worth it for me.
I have a lot of female friends that, like, my two closest, oldest, best female friends live far away from me, and... the two of we see each other when we can, and we just pick up right when we left
oh,
off
yeah.
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But all three of us are really like make new friends all the time, because well especially they're always moving
yeah
like always moving, and so you have to make new friends. One of my friends moved to Spain. She now lives in Madrid. She married a man there, and I went to visit her last summer and met all her new friends.
Yeah,
which is so weird
yeah.
because you're kind of like, yeah, but you're my, I don't know,
so
I
it's a betrayal.
I'm not saying I got territorial, but
yeah.
it was. But you're funny because that's the new friend, and so they've got the new stories.
Yeah,
we've
yeah.
got the older stories.
Yeah,
and I'm just kidding. There was no issue.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting thing to sort of go, oh well, could that be my friend? I don't know. Like
yeah.
she's got her new friend, and I'm okay with that because I'm leaving. Right, I'm
yeah,
going
yeah.
back home and stuff. But I've never found that hard.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd. I kind of feel like I'm using a lot of Seinfeld for some reason today.
Seinfeld Saturday. Yeah.
I know. I remember him saying that one bit where he's saying how, you know, you meet someone and you could be friends with them, but you just don't have any room in your life, mm. right? And he's like, you know what? You seem great. I'm going to take your resume. I'm going to put it on,
yeah.
you know,
on the pile. Uh-huh. Yeah.
If something changes, someone drops out, I yeah. might call.
Carlos said that to me because he's been observing me making these, like, new friends.
Yeah.
And we've been chatting about it, and he's been, you know, hanging out with them, too. And he was like, you know that you don't have time for new people, right? And I was like, yeah, I know, but you can't just turn down new friends. And, like, as long as they don't have high expectations of me, and I make that fairly clear off the top,
yeah,
like,
which I do. Yeah, they're not hanging out every...
I'm like, yeah, yeah. sorry. Like,
that's
I just...
so weird, though. That's like starting a relationship. I know. I'm not in for something really serious. Yeah. Yeah. I can do a casual thing every once in a while, but yeah. if you're thinking airport drives and moving,
yeah.
no.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Probably not. But an occasional show.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe a movie's a big deal. Though.
Grabbing a drink.
I don't know if a movie, that's too serious.
No, movie's okay. Movie's
that's
okay
hard,
by me.
You gotta talk to them after.
I'm okay with talking to people and having that time commitment.
No.
It's just like the sort of daily, like...
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't spend every weekend texting with people the way I text with you.
No.
That would be impossible.
No, and if you think I'm the person to call in the middle of the night when you're having a crisis, I don't think I am.
Sure not.
Yeah. Nope. This will be me. Can't see that, but you did.
The phone was on silent, and I didn't hear it. Right? Yeah.
yeah. What? You called when? That's weird. 3:30 in the morning. You think I'd hear that? I mean, I was just sleeping.
So there hasn't been any after hours texts, have there?
No, I think we're usually. We go free.
Any crises?
No crises, yeah.
Not yet.
We go, the 12 to 8 is a pretty sacred pretty sacred space that I don't often feel the need
that would
to...
That be a real emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would have had to have gone through your whole list of people.
You know my ranking?
You know when you go on your phone, it gives you a log, and it sees all the people you've called?
Yeah.
You'd go through those first, right?
Yeah, probably. That makes sense. Yeah.
Because we don't often phone
phone each other.
No.
And we can't hang out all the time either, because otherwise... It wouldn't be as fresh during the podcast.
On the show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah. like sending each other links and being, like, you know, just sort of either celebratory or soft outrage, like, yeah. we can do that, and, like, yeah. you know, but we can't hang out all the time.
If I see her on the street, sometimes I just keep walking.
But that's because she's very glamorous and famous.
That's right.
She does not have time for...
Oftentimes, I've got huge sunglasses on, and I don't see you peripherally.
Yeah.
But you know, and I've seen you. You look up, and then you're... No, I know.
Yeah, I'm just going to just...
Walk on by.
You've got the collars of the Swedish coat up, and...
Yeah.
But you understand.
I do.
Something personal.
Obviously, no, obviously. It's not personal at all.
So there's another Andrea involved in all of this.
Andrea Jin! She's like our silent third partner.
But not silent.
No, she's...
At all.
So
is
important.
That the one we hear at the beginning?
No.
Oh, that's
Andrea found that voice.
Yeah, she's not on the podcast. She is... she's our producer. She's in my ear throughout the taping, and so just letting us know if we need to wrap it up or if we need to address something.
It's actually interesting because she's always our, like, we'll come up with ideas and she'll, no, right away. Hmm. Or some of them will be, convince me, and she is our, she actually is the decider. This is like watching, you know, like a... You know, like any of the showrunners or something, she's the one that will make that decision.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think it's good.
Yeah,
because
it's good for us because we'll just go off on anything, really.
And I really think, like, she's been really integral to having, like, the episodes having any structure. Mm-hmm. She's the one who really sort of, like...
Focuses us
and keeps us, like, the sort of, like, the ones where we have, like, some... point of argument or like some point of like real discussion, like she really focuses us on making sure that we do that. And
so the clip that we hear, 45, sometimes 50 minutes or so, is that done live to tape like we're doing now, or is there a lot of editing in terms of, not a lot of editing, but I mean,
there is some editing.
There's some editing. Like I'd say we lose about maybe 10 minutes per.
Sometimes we've.
Yeah. Well, only once we've gone super long.
We've got one coming up.
Yeah.
That went super long.
St. Elmo's Fire versus Breakfast Club.
We'll see how long that...
We talked so long, we have no idea why.
Yeah, like an hour and 20 or something? It was kind
of
crazy.
Even on one movie we agreed was probably one of the worst things ever made.
Sure.
We still managed to talk more than we would on a really good movie.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how long that actually is. I don't know. And I mean, Andrea makes the decision about,
it's
like,
as long as St. Elmo's Fire was.
Nothing's
which
long
needed
as,
editing, too.
Nothing's as long as that, my God. No, I think, and she makes the decision as to, like, what gets cut and what stays in and stuff.
Yeah. And so you taped the show, my understanding, at the Vancouver Public
That's
Library
right.
Central
yes.
Branch, right?
Inspiration yeah. Labs. Yeah.
And so when you're, I think you just mentioned this, but I forget, and you'll forgive me. So the preparation that you guys do, you try to avoid talking about the show until you do the show, is
yes.
that right?
Yes, yeah. yeah. We want to bring it fresh.
We often book, like, idea. We'll maybe sometimes do two episodes in an evening, so we'll spend a couple of hours there. So we know that what we're doing, like, we have, because we got to read books or
yeah.
watch
movies or a series
yeah.
or something. So we know pretty much what we're going to do for, like, a couple of months ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of hate mail? Or pointed criticism, say?
No, we had
a couple comments on an article that came out about us on
yeah,
Fan City
where you
Buzz.
Can see yeah. comments, and they were not kind.
But there was
really
like, but like
just,
super lame. Like one,
they weren't like critical.
The first comment was like after this like amazing. This woman wrote this amazing article. Name's Lindsay, I believe. She wrote this like huge mammoth profile of us on Fan City Buzz, and the first comment that pops up at the bottom was, man, these two need to get laid. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's what you took away from this article?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And then that got taken away because, like, the comment got reported or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second one, I didn't even see it, but I think you saw it.
I did.
And please, tell us.
Well, it called us something that I had to look up at Urban Dictionary, which we don't need to go
yeah, sure,
into.
Sure.
It was a plural of something. and then said that they were so angry about our podcast, no specific reasons why, but that they smashed their computer and had to leave this comment on with their phone.
Well, you just know that that's nonsense, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I mean, the fact that they make this up, though, it's troubling.
Oh, it's completely sure. troubling. Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, if your main take, if reading about us talking
makes
about our podcast
angry.
Makes you that angry, like, you probably need
like
help.
Like, you could have stopped reading the article, and you're under no obligation to listen to
sure,
the podcast.
Sure thing. And you are super not required to finish the article, or make it all the way down to the comment section, because it was a long-ass article.
It really was.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just indicative of that website's audience.
Well, I think it's actually just indicative of, like, sort of that weird troll culture that exists, you know? Like, if anything, like, I think we've been fairly lucky so far. We've got, like, pretty... All our listeners seem to be really lovely. Everyone sends us nice messages. We haven't had a lot of hate stuff. We even did an episode, like dealing with the Ghostbusters backlash, and we didn't hear anything negative at all from anybody, which was nice.
Nope, we didn't.
Yeah, so, like, it's just, like, this... If you end up catching the eye of some idiot, and they make it their personal mission to sort of, like, you know, make everything difficult. I don't know. I don't know these people.
No, I don't know. I mean, I think we're pretty lucky. I will say, though, that one of the more challenging things about what we're doing is we did have a discussion about how we could make some men very angry.
Mm.
Yeah.
For now, just to know that that was something that could happen, because... You know, you have to hear about women saying that they don't look at comments, they don't...
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I... like
some women don't go out, I mean, who have got...
Well, that's the thing, like, I mean, yeah. And I've written some things in the past that have had, like, weird... I've had weird comments from people, just in terms of writing about feminism and music, and, you know, and it seems like it's... I mean, it's so stupid that it's still provocative to... Because you call yourself a feminist, that will somehow inspire hatred... but I mean, those are people who are going to hate you no matter what because you are a woman speaking with a voice, you know? Like, I mean, this is a reality of our lives all the time.
Yes.
Like, you hear from people, oh, you're the only woman's voice I like.
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
That's insane.
Yeah, I had that said to me at a book launch.
Hmm.
It was a reading, which I hosted.
Yeah.
And a man came up after and said, I just wanted to let you know, I listened to you, and I said, oh, thank you. And he said, and you're the only female voice I can stand.
Yeah.
I just I feel ill now.
No, but this
I don't know even. I don't. I mean,
you got a great voice, but I mean, I
don't
where's
even
that
know
guy?
What I'm supposed to say to a person like that. I mean, you don't even know.
Like, you probably need help. Like, honestly, like if that's like, I just want people to get help.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
Like, we went to Lindy West's reading a couple weeks ago, and it was amazing. And we're doing, we've recorded an episode about her book already, and it's coming out in a couple weeks.
Shrill, right?
That's Shrill, really yeah. And it's a fantastic book. And she, you know, she did an episode on This American Life to talk about, and she confronted and interviewed the man who decided he was so angry about her success and her opinions and her voice. He created an account in the voice of her dead father and harassed her online. And like, and so she, when she wrote an essay, he responded back and said, oh my God, your essay actually really made me realize what I was doing wrong. So she did this thing with him.
Yeah.
He's a regular, that's the thing. And this is the thing that I think is really important to realize is that we have this idea that it's like just troll culture and like, we don't know these men who do this, but this guy, regular dude, who's a middle school teacher, teaches young children, has a girlfriend, like, and he didn't even think that what he was doing was wrong or sexist or horrible. He just felt entitled to harass her in the voice of her dead father. Like, it's just, I don't know this. I mean, I think it speaks to a lot of things, but in the idea, the same idea that like, we don't think that we know people, or we have an idea of what we think a rapist looks like. We have an idea of what we think an abuser looks like. We don't. Mm-hmm. They look like everybody that's around us all the time. And I think that that is, I mean, it's scary, but it's an important thing to acknowledge.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that you do that I admire a great deal and is that, I mean, you do realize that there is high culture, highbrow culture, and popular culture, but you don't discriminate between
the
two.
We do not.
No, I love...
That is a big thing for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I think it's super important to, like, just break down those barriers. And I just got into a fight yesterday. Well, not a fight. To be fair, it's not a fight. But I got into a big conversation yesterday about, like, a friend of mine, he had tweeted something about how, like, this quote from this guy who wrote, like, this huge Beatles book. He's like, the Beatles were so authentic and, you know, non-corporate and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, like, the Beatles, what the Beatles did was genius. They started fan clubs by mobilizing young women. They wrote to young women who wrote to them and said, will you start a fan club in your area? Recruited, like, they recognized the power of young women from the get-go, and Beatlemania was born. They created Beatlemania. That is the ultimate in corporate success.
Yeah.
Like, I just this idea that they are there and high up above someone like, I don't know, I'm going to say it, Kim Kardashian. These are just people who know how to make things work.
And make money. Which is what they wanted to do. And there's some kind of idea that David Bowie didn't want to be famous, that it was thrust upon him. No. He wanted to be very successful. He wanted as many people as possible to like his music. And when his tours went from small venues to large clubs to eventually stadiums, he didn't go, no, my art only belongs in... No, I mean, this is a certain point, everybody... All of us, we've got a product we need to get out there.
Yeah.
Maybe people like to hear us. I mean, I don't understand this elitism about wanting to be popular as somehow negates you from being critically acclaimed.
Which is not to say that you can't have integrity about the artist that you want to collaborate with.
Sure.
I like the fact that David Bowie was like, hell no, Coldplay. I respect that.
But that's more about him.
That's not about the popularity. That's not him judging the popularity of Coldplay.
No, it's him not liking it.
Yeah, and it's completely different. And I think we conflate the two all the time.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah, if you mentioned that Kardashian episode, and I've said it many times, it is my litmus test for people, which is if you say, I don't care for the Kardashians,
yeah,
I perfectly understand that.
Yeah.
Great, good for you.
Yeah.
It's a weird show. I've watched it. I have tipped my toe in the Kardashian pond. But if you're going to rail against... Who the hell is she to get so famous? Who the hell are you to even ask that? Are you jealous?
Yeah.
do you want to do that?
My
favorite
thing was when you said that, like, it was the something you had read about how Kim Kardashian caused Donald Trump or something.
Yeah.
That was, like, amazing to me.
Yeah, that, I mean, first of all, what? And secondly, do you think she's that powerful that she influences American politics? Now, that is, I mean, let's just call it, that's the most powerful woman in the world today.
Totally.
Well, that's a woman caused the bad things to happen.
Yes, it is. It sure is.
That was her apple, you're right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just incredible. So, I mean, I'm always like, if you don't like something, like our podcast say, you don't have any obligation to listen.
Yeah. Totally.
Just
totally.
Say no.
It's cool to say no.
It's fine to say no.
When you look at what's happening, say, in with the sort of shows that we have, you know, Veep is doing very well, Girls, of course, and the Mindy Project. Do you think that's enough, that it'll change how we react to one another, say?
I don't think so. I mean, I think when you mentioned Sex and the City, that's from 2000, and people are still, oh, I don't know, was that any good of a show?
Should women have sex?
Yeah.
No, I think actually the key difference there is the types of shows that you're talking about. So, Mindy Project and Girls are created by women, mm-hmm. and they are run by women, for the most part. Sex and the City and Golden Girls were created by men.
Candace, who wrote the book, was a woman, though.
She wasn't part of the show.
Yeah.
Terms of getting into actual positions of mm-hmm. power, having women as showrunners, having women as creators, like Shonda Rhimes, I think is, you know, that's sort of a big deal. The woman who, I can't remember her name right now, but the woman who created Fresh Off the Boat, even though it's taken from, you know, a book that was written by Eddie Wang. You know, it was created by a woman. So having more women in positions of power behind the camera, I think makes a huge difference.
Another example, Transparent, only has women writers, women directors, and women creators. That's it. Mm. Amy Schumer. I think there's mostly only women. And Broad City. In fact, here's something funny for you. Broad City. Some guy recently tried to use it. Did you hear this?
Yes.
Yeah, tried to use it as a pickup line with a woman in New York that he worked on Broad City. And just to double down on the horribleness of this story, he also said, it's not so good this year. There are no men that work on the show. Now, I don't know enough about the making of the show. I don't know if that was an issue for them or just worked out that way. We don't ask that question if it's all men working on a show. Yeah. Did you meant for it all to be all men? That's a weird question.
Well,
so I don't
Cement
know,
the Bees show is fairly specifically female.
Yeah, but there are some men on it as
a
well.
A few, but it's a like, few, yeah. But mostly in terms of what you see in the writer's room, it's almost entirely all women. And one of the questions, apparently, I haven't read the interview yet, but I'm excited to, I think it was maybe like the New York Times, they asked the question, so how do you create a successful show with mostly women and almost no men?
I don't think you should be obliged to answer that. I think you should be able to just have a blank stare. And say, next question.
I think...
You ask yourself that
Knowing that it was Samantha Bee, I can only imagine the response was amazing.
So the look on her face.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I think that... And, I mean, I think we noticed that it was a crucial moment in that very, very sad, sad, sad day for Matt Damon. When he was working on the Project Greenlight. Is that what it was called? Do you know this story?
No.
He and Ben Affleck are part of a show that helps young filmmakers.
Make the movie,
So he is sitting with a African-American woman who expresses the fact that it's not just about the actors you see on screen. It's also about making sure that there's diversity in the creating of the show. And his answer... no, that's wrong.
Yeah, he
to her face.
He is an idiot. Okay, and I mean, I know that
he said no.
He said no.
That's
you don't need to worry about diversity.
No,
I'm sorry.
The best part was is this is on TV, so you got to her. No one can see this is a podcast. Her go,
Her
body language when she just sort of sprung backwards.
Well, because I really, I mean, I've been in work situations where like at the end of the year, I might have to write like and this isn't specific to my current workplace, but in the past, you know, I might have to write like a top 10 list of my favorite records of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fairly deliberate in, I try really hard to make sure that my list, airs heavily on the side of women artists. 'Cause that's, if I wasn't doing it sometimes, there would be no women not in the world, but mm-hmm. specific to some places that I've written for. And one time my editor got back to me and he was like, you know, there's not a single man on this list. And I was like, yeah, I know. Did you know that on your list, there's not a single woman?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same. It's not mm-hmm. me, like, actively choosing to make a list and that I can stand by as well. That is all women. You know, that's a statement that's very important to me. It's not the same. And so often we go back to that thing that we talked about earlier, which is like the idea that if a man makes it, it's for everyone. And if a woman makes it, it's only for women. And I don't believe that at all. And I mean, I actually called up my husband about his podcast listening a couple of years ago. And he was really grateful that we had this like sort of challenging discussion. He was listening almost exclusively to male podcasts, male voices, getting a very skewed perception of the world. And I mean, he's really smart and I'm not worried about him. He's a good feminist and all that stuff. But it hadn't even dawned mm-hmm. on him until I pointed it out after we'd been on a road trip. And I was like, are you not tired of dude telling you things? Like, is this, oh my God, are you, like, this is exhausting to me.
And there's this theory out there. I was just following yesterday a very sad situation in the sporting world of Australia, where you can imagine it's all kinds of pro women, right?
Yeah.
this is in the commentating world. And there's an ugly debate going on for this woman who calls matches. And someone said something quite rude about another woman. And anyway, it's escalated to terrible proportions. But one of the things was this male newscaster saying that if you look for something on purpose, you will find it. We don't look for this stuff.
No.
Mm. I mean, we're happy just to talk about great books and music and movies and things all on our own. We're not out there. Like, you know, I don't have a Google alert for man acting like an asshole to a woman. You know, that's not something, I don't need to do anything for this to happen.
No.
And so that's why it's not a male bashing or whatever. It's challenging because you want to get these stories out. You want to have people know these things are happening, but they get buried. And someone will later on tell you going, you know, you just have to compete like everybody else. We're just picking the good stuff. And
you're not. Not. Like, you're not. It's, there's not an even playing field. Like, and I mean, ugh. I don't know. I just find it, I do find it really exhausting. And it has changed the way, like the last 10 years I have changed dramatically in how I critically engage with my pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually really grateful for it because I think it has made my pop culture so much more interesting. And the things that I'm, even just like the book we've done this week is on Padma Lakshmi's book. And there have been some people who have said things like, oh, I don't really think that book's for me. I don't think I would want to read that book. Like, what's her life? Like, what's that?
It must
like,
be really perfect.
And, yeah, so, yeah. And boring and, like, whatever. It's a fascinating book. It is so good.
And she has not had an easy road at all. Not one. I don't think anything she's done has ever been easy.
No.
And we make all these judgment calls that she's this beautiful woman that's
that's how we see her.
That's how we see her. And then to find out all of the struggles and just culturally interesting as a feminist, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Your first thought is, well, that's not what we don't need to read that.
Yeah. And I would be so good if we could drop the pretense that like we don't have to engage with things that look a certain way whatever. Yeah. It would be so good.
Should I read Middlemarch this summer?
Yeah, good luck.
It's a long book, isn't it?
I don't understand why it isn't as well thought of as, say, War and Peace.
Yeah.
In terms of what's explored in it and human emotions and...
written by a woman.
Yeah, written by a woman.
I'm just going to guess that's why it's not as well thought of as War and Peace.
Well, is it a woman? It's written by George Eliot. So.
Yeah.
That should tell you something right there, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll rent the DVD from the library. I'll start there, probably, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's no. And the funny thing is it just takes you get into the language, and then once you're in, it's fantastic. But yeah, you're sometimes overwhelmed by. Well, I mean, you know, the Lord of the Rings, they break it down into separate books. It doesn't look as terrifying
as, thick,
as a whole trilogy in one.
Is there something that you'd recommend right off the top for the summer that I should probably watch or read? Or?
Oh, so many things.
I would go with Transparent.
Mm.
Which is, I think, going to be going into its, is it third season?
It'll be its season, third, yeah.
Third season. I don't think I've, I mean, I've been raving about this now since the first moment I saw it, and I don't know if I've been quite as moved by a show as this one. And, you know, it's coming at an interesting time where we are discussing transgender issues, but it also, this is something that the creator of the show, this is her father's story. Yeah. This is her story. This is a lot of people's story. And even again, there, you know, if your instinct is to say, well, that's not going to affect me because my dad's not transgender.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's not how it works. This is about family. It's about all the issues that are important. And is that because a woman wrote it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Plus, like, understanding other people's experiences.
Yes.
Isn't that why we read books? Like, it's not to reconfirm our own identities over and over and over again. Like, mm-hmm. we should be interacting with culture that tells us something new and exposes us to something new. Like, I just, anyway.
And if you, yeah, a story of seeing someone finally become who they've always wanted to be. If that doesn't grab you and just break your heart, well, then you should check if you've got a pulse.
I think, going to recommend, I mean, obviously we've talked about Unreal a lot, but it I can't think of a show that has impacted me and affected me this way, because it's just, it's so dark, and it's so dangerous, and it's
but that's also how you met your husband, so you might have a kind of a connection.
When we were on
it.
The Fat Kids Bachelor,
remember,
it was amazing. It was so good.
It was like at the wire, and who's gonna get the rose?
Oh my god,
that's crazy.
I want the petunia.
Yeah.
But it's in its second season right now. It's playing. It's on Lifetime in Canada and the U.S. and it's so good.
It's worth a binge.
Yeah.
It
well,
is,
that,
yeah.
I'll do that. Transparent and Unreal this summer for sure.
Well, get back to us.
I will.
Hopefully.
I'll tweet you. And
we're also going to, like, tickets still haven't gone on sale, but we're going to seriously do a Pop This meetup to just blast Ghostbusters so that it has, I mean, it's going to sell. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm not actually worried about it, but I want us to all go and, like, just take over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, it's one of those films that I think, after all the controversy, we just have to see it and see what it's all about before we...
Well, you should know that the man who said he wouldn't see it has become very troubled by the people who are angry at him who didn't even watch his review.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And it's funny that his dictionary doesn't have irony in it.
Oh, yeah. It's a human caterpillar of sad white men. My God.
True.
I love
You're
it.
You're judging me, and you didn't even watch my video where I explained why I wasn't going to watch this, and you're making judgments based on things you read in the media?
This is amazing. You've made my Saturday.
Well, it's a true story.
Oh, my God.
Sadly.
Oh, my God.
Ripped from the headlines, as they say.
All the time.
Well, this has made my Saturday, because I'm a big fan of, your book, Andrea, of course, and the chat we had last September, and I've listened to you for years.
Well,
and,
thank you. This has been fantastic. Thank you.
I really
appreciate you coming in to do this.
Thanks
thank
for the pastries,
you. This
too.
This has been so good.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, it's true. We got pastries and water.
Well,
and
don't say that now. Everyone's
going to
expect this now when they come in here.
If this gets edited, it's a conspiracy.
No, it's just a Saturday afternoon thing. If you're here any other time, you'll never get it again.
No, they're fresh on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. The show is called Pop This. You can go to iTunes, Stitcher, and, of course, their page at popthiscollective.tumblr.com. Andrea Warner and Lisa Christian join me in person here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.